part three, and they're usurps from the Proverbs. I'm trying to go through the book of Proverbs, and it's one of the most difficult books in the Bible to study, because you have to go back and study a whole bunch of Bible manners and customs. You have to study the vernacular of the Hebrew language, and you have to discover what they really meant when they said something, because they express things in a quite different way from us. So I've already covered Proverbs 1, 20 through 22, and you can pretty well read it for yourself on the screen. And the branch is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I went on down through Zechariah 4:10, and I talked about the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And I ended up on 1 Timothy 2, 15 through 16 to emphasize the importance of actually studying the Word of God for yourself. A lot of times, preachers are the only ones that get a lot of benefit out of it. If a preacher is studious and he really wants to do what God wants, and God makes him feel guilty when he doesn't, he'll study all the time and he'll try to present as accurately as he can with as much encouragement and as much preciseness as he's able to do, led by the Spirit, to teach the Bible to the people that are listening. And if he just wants to entertain them, well, he can tell some cute little jokes, and I know a lot of cute little jokes, and he can do a little song and dance, and he can really get on their toes and rant and rave and sing snot and saliva all over the place. But it's a whole lot better if he studies it for himself. And then, quite frankly, he's usually the one that gets convicted the most and sees more of his own faults than the one he's presenting it to. So we got down to Proverbs 1, 22 through 24. He says, "How long, ye simple ones?" Now, when we think of someone that's simple in our culture, we think of simple Simon Metapaman going to the pair. We think of somebody that's simple, that doesn't have any sense at all. But the real meaning of this word, as it's used in Proverbs, and you'll find it's quite consistent, simply means easily deceived. He says, "How long, ye simple ones, ye ones that are easy to deceive, will you love being deceived?" He said, "And how long will the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" I am convinced that this book has the knowledge of all the ages in it. And I'm convinced that it's not easy to dig that out. And I'm convinced that no man will ever be able to dig it out or even come close. But I do believe that your life will be changed and you will be different if you try to study to show yourself approved unto God, a woman that is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you won't come up with profane and vain babblings. And you'll discover a change in your life. You'll discover a change in your attitude that I can't make, and that you will only make if you're exposed to this book. Now, this book has the wisdom in it. It has the understanding. It has the discernment in it that you need to know, and I need to know. So he said, "How long, you people that are easily deceived, will you love being deceived? And how long will you scorners keep on finding delight in your scorning?" Some people are never happy unless they are scorning other people, putting other people down. They don't like this. They don't like that. Jack, don't take offense at this. They don't like this. They don't like that. All they ever do is quack, 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 quack. But they love it. They love every minute of it. So he tells them, he said, "And the scorners delight in their scorning." I've seen, not Jack doesn't, but I've seen people in churches that just love to scorn everything. The way the fellowship was conducted, the way the service was conducted, the way the specials were sung, they scorn everything. And they're just as happy as a bug in a rug, because they find pleasure and joy in scorning everything. And it's the only way they seem to get any pleasure in life. It used to make me so mad, I could spit snowballs. And finally, I figured out they're not happy unless they're doing that. And I began to notice that the other people, they didn't like what they were doing either. So I just said, "Okay, you know, if they're happy, I'm happy." And he said, "How long are you going to keep on doing that?" Well, I'll tell you when they'll stop doing it. When they discover other people don't appreciate it. And when the church as a whole doesn't like scorners. They may not say anything, but they get sick and tired of it. And eventually, the scorner, who keeps criticizing and griping and grumbling about everything, he's not having any effect. Nobody's agreeing with him. They may not say a word to him. But pretty soon, they say they're not getting any attention, they're not getting sympathy, and they just shut up. And fools hate knowledge. Well, this is a teaching church, always has been a teaching church. And a person that does not want to know what this book has to say. The book describes as someone that's a fool. Now, I didn't call anybody fool, but the Bible indicates that fools don't want the knowledge in this book. Now, they want happiness in life. They want a good wife. They want 3 square meals a day. They want life to be pleasant for them. They want a good boss. They want a good job. They want good wages. They want everything in the world. But they do not know and do not want to know what God can teach them out of this book. And he said, how long is that going to go on? Well, I think it's a pretty fair question to say, how long is that going to go on in your life? And I have a right to say that. Because until I was 38 years old, there I was. And I didn't want to know what God had to say. I had a wife that loved me. I had a good job. Had a whole bunch of people working for me. They were good fellows. And everything was just fine. What did I need God for? And, you know, if somebody said, do you believe in God? I said, yeah. They said, well, do you believe Jesus is his son? Yeah. Well, are you saved? I said, yeah. Yeah, I sure am. Yeah. Are you going? Yeah. I'd have told them all that. Absolutely. But I didn't know zip. I didn't know zip about what God wanted me to know. I didn't know zip about what God's purpose is in the lives of all of us. I didn't know what God's knowledge was like. Have I mastered all of it? As Maxwell Smart used to say, about that much. But that's a whole lot more than I used to master. And so now my life's different. My attitude's different. I'm not a goody-two-shoes. I do try to do what's right. But some people, he says, how long are people going to keep hating, wanting to learn something in my word? How much longer are these people going to keep on scorning and grumbling and griping and enjoy it? He said, how much longer are you people going to be deceived? Now, this is in Proverbs. So what's the wisdom in this? What's the teaching? Quit being deceived by people who tell you false things about that book by studying it for yourself. Quit jumping on scorners and scorning back at them. They'll just scorn back at you, make it 10 times worse in your life. Just ignore them. You say, well, where'd you learn that? In Proverbs. Just ignore them. And quit hating, wanting to study more. It's awareness to the flesh. Start wanting to know more about this book. This is the place to learn it. That's what the church is down here for. One of its major functions. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen, it says. So, that's truth. Now, this is Proverbs. And that's truth. Proverbs told you the truth. He said, quit being easily deceived. He said, quit hating knowledge. And quit grumbling about everything. Because if people join in with you, you're happy. But if they don't, you're miserable. So why get unhappy about anything? Why not just come to church, worship God, and forget all the other stuff? Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. Now, I'm not trying to get on you. I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip. The Holy Spirit does that. He does it extremely well. He does it as well as it can be done. He does it better than anyone. This book, right here, is what God left, and his hand has been extending out to you ever since you passed the age of accountability. His hand is still extended out to you. You know that. You know that. It's not something that's uncertain. You know that's true, don't you, Danny? Okay. Now, he stretched out his hand. What are you going to do when you come up to the judgment seat of Christ and all that knowledge that you could have gotten by being faithful in church and studying the Word of God yourself? Because we preach and teach the Word in this church. He calls you. He does it every day of your life. You wouldn't be here if he hadn't influenced you to come tonight. Who do you think influenced you? Your flesh? No, it was him. Who bothers you because you don't come to church and worship God like you should? Is it me? Or is it God? Who wrote that book? God. And so you want knowledge? You want wisdom? You want what God wants you to have? He calls to you all the time. He stretches out your hand. And no man regard it. You're going to be judged for it at the judgment seat of Christ. So am I. A lot of times people think, he's getting on to me because I didn't come to church Sunday night. No, I'm not. I'm just reminding you that you're going to have to give an answer to God for that. I'm just reminding you. And all I'm using is this book. God sticks out his hand to you, and from the time he saved you, he's been sticking out his hand to you, saying, come on, get some of this wisdom in Proverbs. Come on, let me teach you out of this book. You say, well, how do we know what you're telling us is right? Well, you're reading it too. If you don't agree, then you've had to find some reason to disagree with me, and maybe you're right. But if you've never considered it, how are you going to explain that to the Lord? Isaiah 9:13-21. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. God smote Israel 16 different ways from Sunday. God smote them in the Babylonian captivity. God smote them in the Assyrian captivity. God smote them in the days of the judges. God battered Israel around until she was black and blue. Not because he got pleasure out of it. He was just trying to stick out his hand and say, now come on. I made you. I called you out. You're my children. Now he said, come on. And they wouldn't do it. And he smote them. And he didn't do it in anger and displeasure. He tried to get their attention. And he tried to get it for all those years. Look at this world. Look at how many people still want to know what the truth is and how the Lord wants to be worshipped. Look how few there are. Look how few now are responding to God's word. Well, look what happened to Israel. Therefore, the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush, in one day. So is America now religious? All the surveys say she is. All the surveys say that America is very religious. They say it's very, very religious. You can look at that, and they'll tell you how religious it is. You know where their religious is? It's on television. Do you know what's on television? A bunch of thieves that are trying to get in your pockets. A bunch of thieves that speak in tongues. A bunch of thieves that lay hands on you. A bunch of men claiming to be called of God that know God than Moody's goose. And in Israel's day, who was in charge? The priests. They were the most corrupt, ungodly men in Israel. But they dressed up and looked good and had a lot of, if you will, media attention. And they had all the people that they would teach and stand out. And they would offer up sacrifices. They had all of this. But they were rotten and corrupt. So what did God do? The ancient and honorable. He is the head. The head of this monster called Israel that she had become because she wouldn't listen to God was the priest. The high priest and all the other priests. They said the ancient and honorable, the high priest, he's the head. And the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. Those monsters that call themselves preachers on television are after the money in your pocket and they don't give a rip for you. Just ask one to come and do your funeral and he'll want to know how much you're willing to pay. They are not from God. They are from some other source that is totally alien to God. All of them? No. But most of them are. And if you want to see the ones that are unhonorable, ungodly, just watch Trinity Broadcast Network that rob widows and spinsters and old people and their Social Security checks. For the leaders of this people cause them to err. And they that are led of them are destroyed. Why? Because they're simple. The Lord said, how long are you going to be simple? You know what a simple man is? A simple man is somebody, or a simple woman, that comes down here, and I tell them all this. And they look at it on the screen. They're that interested in the Word of God. They actually are interested enough to know, is what he teaches, is what he's saying the truth? Is what he's telling us the truth? I want to know. And they study it out for themselves. But someone that's simple is someone that comes down here to get the Holy Spirit off their back. And they're easily led astray, and they just swallow everything I say without ever studying the Bible or ever comparing it with the Bible. A simple person is somebody that's easily led. You want to know why the multitudes are following those freaks on television? Because they're easily deceived. They want a quick fix. They want to listen to preaching and go home. They don't want to change in their lives. They don't want to change their attitude. They don't want to change anything. They like themselves just the way they are, and it's kind of like with God. Brill cream, a little dabble do ya. Brill cream, it looks that dabble there. Brill cream, a little dabble do ya. Simply rub a little in your hair. They want a little dab. Little dab. Little dab. Not much more. Tell me what I want to hear. Tell me I'm saved. Tell me I'm secure. Tell me God will never forsake me. And all that's true. But is that what you want? Or do you really want to listen to what God has to say? Not what I have to say. It's right there on that screen. If you don't agree with me, that is no problem. You say, you don't really mean that. Oh, yes, I do. What I think a person ought to do, unless they're simple, is to study this book for themselves and not be deceived. I'm not afraid of what I preach being examined. Socrates said, that which cannot be examined is not worth having. I just wish to God some of you would examine what I teach and examine what you see on the screen and have an interest in the Word of God. How do you know I'm not deceiving you? Believe me, those people on television are deceiving them in droves because they're telling them just exactly what they want to hear. Therefore, the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither have mercy on their fatherless and widows. You know what's wrong in this town now? Well, I'm sure the police could tell you a whole lot better than I could. And it's not just the fact that we've been invaded. That's part of it. But this town used to be where the police didn't have all that much trouble. You got a lot of dope heads, a lot of drug heads. You've got young men and women in this town that aren't worth the powder to blow when the kingdom comes. And the reason is they just never did actually have parents that directed them to come to church, to be faithful, to get to know Jesus. And here we are with all this problem we've got. Look what happened in Israel. Therefore, the Lord shall have no joy in their young men. How many young men have we got in this town that are about as worthless as a frog in a punch bowl? How many young men in this town have we got that are involved in drugs? And for that matter, forget Dardanelle. How many young people have we got all over this country that are interested in drugs? Because the Lord, that He held out His hands. He put local churches down here for people to serve in. He not only crucified His Son so that we all might be saved by faith in Him, but He put a local church down here to teach them, and people quit going to a local church and went to a phenomena that is not a church called the Universal Church, and now they sit at home and listen to those freaks on Trinity Broadcast, millions of them. And what they teach them is absolutely worthless and detrimental and ungodly. And they, for their kids, they don't want to preach to. They just send in an offering to them, and they put it in a big pile of letters. And they get up there, and they put their hands on those letters, and they say, Lord, save that child. Save that boy. Save that girl. Lord, these people are hungering and in trouble. Save them, Lord. Make them rich. Do this. Do that. The prophets prophesy falsely, Jeremiah said, and the priests bear rule by their means. And the people love to have it so because they're simple, easily deceived. I thank God that at age 38, I suddenly realized that true wisdom God had. And I was a nincompoop and didn't have enough sense to come in out of the rain. Now, I'm going to tell you something about every one of you, and you won't like it one bit. You're a bunch of nincompoops, and you haven't got sense enough to come in out of the rain either. And the only way you're ever going to have any wisdom is out of this book. And God keeps holding out His hand, trying to teach us, trying to do what we're supposed to do. And look at our generation. And look at the generation that followed. We didn't even know what marijuana was. We thought it was they were called reefers. And they stopped us in high school. They announced in high school that if we smoked a reefer, we would go sterile and we'd never be able to have any children. That stopped that. And then to really make the point across, they said, if you smoke a reefer, a great big black hair will grow out of the middle of your hand. And your mom will see it. Your dad will see it. And no matter how much you cut it off, it'll grow back. You say, well, surely you didn't believe that. Yeah, we believe that. We believe that. You say, well, you were simple. You know why we were simple? If we'd have known the Word of God, we'd know that wasn't going to be true. But we didn't know the Word of God. And this generation, you can't tell them anything like that. They're wise. The children of darkness are in their day wiser than the children of light. Well, I'm going to hustle on through this. For everyone is a hypocrite and evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. God is amazing. You say, He's amazing because He parted the waters of the Red Sea? Because He made the heavens and the earth? Because God can do all things, mighty, powerful, everywhere at the same time. That's why God's so wonderful. No. What's wonderful is God loves you, and God loves me, and in spite of what we are, He keeps trying to teach us the truth. He keeps holding out His hand. And some of us think, well, we got about enough church now. We got about enough Christianity. We know as much as we should about the Lord. We've got this all pretty well wrapped up. So we just will go along with what we have, stay just the way we are, never learn any more about ourselves, and we don't need any of this wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Goodness gracious, we're graduates of Dardanelle High School. Well, the only way that you could have less knowledge was to be a graduate of the school at, what is the name of that place? Ola. Where'd you graduate, Jay? Did you graduate at Ola? Did you graduate at Ola? Okay. Well, I guess eventually counts. Proverbs 1:25-33. But ye have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof, and I will also laugh at your calamity. You know what my problem is? I was taught to pronounce Greek words by syllabication, and I find myself doing that. Like rendezvous, I call it res divorce. They taught us how to break that down in syllables in Greek, and I'm still doing that. And then when I went over to Arkansas Tech, they showed me this little thing in vertebrate zoology, and they said, this is a Psittacus tricerata. And I said, looks like a tree frog to me. They said, that's what it is. They said, it's a Psittacus tricerata. So I had to learn a whole new system of pronouncing things after taking Greek and having to learn how to syllabicate it and break it down. And then I get a word like calamity, and I have trouble with it. Calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, and they shall not find. For they that hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, that would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the tree of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple, the easily deceived, shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. These fellows on television assure you that our God is a God of plenty. Our God is a God of great love. Our God is a God of great compassion. And he is. If this means that he doesn't want you to be poor, he wants you to be rich, he wants you to be prosperous, he wants you to have everything you need. Why, my God, they tell us on television, has got all the things you want if you've just got enough faith. Now, here's what faith is. You send them a seed, and they will grow and multiply that seed. They will. They swear up and down. He's the God of prosperity. And the simple are easily deceived, and they believe that garbage because they want to believe it. Well, I'm almost finished. I don't take any pleasure in what I'm going to show you. But I bow before God, and I stand before man. And I tell you, that's going to all change before Sunday. If you think I'm trying to get you back in church and serving God because we need your money here or because we need your presence here, you're wrong. I'm going to show you this because if you've got any sense at all and you're not easily deceived, you'll realize that God's not going to put up with this much longer. And he told us over 1,000 years ago what he was going to do. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Just watch the news. Just watch how people use God's name. Just watch how everything in the Bible is constantly being attacked. Look at the way that the world has changed from a semi-Christian viewpoint to an ungodly, let's attack the Bible type of nation. This is going to happen very shortly. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords from us. A lot of people that used to come to church, used to go to church, now, they don't want God to have anything to do with controlling their life. They want to break his bands asunder. They want to cast all of his power away from them. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Well, the book of Proverbs is not a book where you can do a lot of embellishment.